Welcome once again to worship. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is present with each one of us through the Holy Spirit of God. We have been fairly busy this week. The weather hasn't been great. And as with many other businesses in town, our sales are well below this time last year. We have received lots of donations for the charity shop this week, and Michael and the crew have been enjoying sorting them out. Our thanks once again to Margaret and Caroline and Michael for their help, especially with the sorting this week. Elsie had a safe journey to the family in South Africa, arriving on Friday morning after a very long flight. We will continue praying for her as she spends some quality time with the family. And once again, I'd like to invite you all to sit quietly for a moment and just think about your spiritual journey over the past week, and just lay before the Lord how you're feeling as we enter into worship. Be ready now to give the Lord your full attention as we praise and worship him. So unto Jesus be glory, honour and praise. Let's worship his majesty as we sing Majesty. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist writes in Psalm 138, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Have you heard the good news?
What good news?
The good news about Jesus.
I've heard of him. He speaks wise words.
There's more than that. He speaks with love.
He must be a prophet.
He's more than that.
He changes lives.
He must be special.
He's more than that. He's God's own son.
What should I do?
Come and worship the living Lord.
So come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. Let's sing, come people of the risen King.
I'd like to invite you to stand with us.
So today we continue our theme, Living Lives of Faith. This month we've already explored how we must all use the resources that God has provided each of us to grow the kingdom of God, no matter how small or large those resources might be. And we have seen how so often this requires that we simply step out in faith. And last week we examined how in order to live lives of faith, we must have a clean heart. This week, we'll be taking as our theme, confess your faith. You know, it's one thing to have a faith. I'm sure we all know that it's not easy in today's world. But the real test of our faith comes when we are called to confess our faith, not just to the Lord, but to other people. We read in Paul's letter to the Romans that we explored a couple of weeks ago, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So just so vital that we all confess our faith, and not just for our own salvation, but in order to grow the church. Of course, we do so by setting an example to others by the way we behave, but also, and this is so important, by always willingly confess our faith to everyone we meet. In our Bible readings today, we focus on the church. And I don't mean the buildings we meet in, but the people who make up the church. And we start with the very foundation of the earthly Christian church, the rock on which it is built. That rock is a person. It is Simon, whom Jesus called Peter. Jesus said, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." We see from our gospel how Jesus questions Peter about who Peter says Jesus is. And then when Peter confesses his faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God, Jesus tells him that he will be the founding member of God's church on earth. And we also see from the epistle how the Apostle Paul tried to unpack the commitment that is expected from each and every one of us as we continue the great tradition of the church into the 21st century. We will see how the church is made up of many individuals, all of whom have been called to take different roles within the church, but working together to make up one body. Well, more of that later, but first let's do as the psalmist says we will do. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise." So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your church. Thank you for giving us a place where we are welcome and where we belong. Thank you for giving us all sorts of people to learn from and to share with. Thank you for giving us somewhere to gather to sing to you and hear more about you. Thank you for your church. And thank you for giving us a family all around the world, bigger than we can imagine, who share our love of you. Thank you for showing us yourself through each other, giving us love, joy, faith and hope to celebrate life and all that it holds. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your church. So, light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened our eyes and let us see beauty that made our hearts adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So, Lord, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're our God. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Amen. Let's sing Light of the World.
Step down into darkness, oh. Spirit, burn.
So once again, we come to God in prayer. Let's pray. God of hope and healing, we pray for those entrusted with huge responsibilities, for those empowered by the votes of others, and those who have seized power through violence and corruption. We pray for those involved in sensitive negotiations in the Middle East, and for all mediators and peacemakers, as the death toll from conflicts around the world continues to rise day after day. We pray for those trying to deliver aid where it's most needed, and for those treating injured bodies and traumatized minds with minimal resources. And Lord, once again we pray for our Prime Minister and his Cabinet as they seek the best for the people of this country, while also looking to support allies and those countries facing natural disasters. Lord, we pray for those who covet power and those who abuse it. May all those who can affect the lives of millions put peace before popularity and wisdom before wealth. And Lord, we pray for the leaders of our churches and for Christians everywhere, that we would set examples of integrity, generosity, tolerance and faithfulness. And Lord, we pray that we would all stand up against all that corrupts our societies, that we would always be prepared to confess our faith, whatever the circumstances. And Lord, we pray for those who have the gift of encouragement, and for those who have been empowered to fulfil their dreams, to overcome challenge, to achieve things they never knew possible, because someone believed in them. We pray for those whose confidence and lives have been destroyed because of criticism, bullying, abuse and social media attacks. And we pray for all who have been destroyed and damaged by the pressure of negative publicity, and for all those whose lives, public and private, are constantly scrutinised and judged. May all those who've spoken and written words influence so many be responsible in their reporting and put sensitivity before sensationalism and accuracy before accusations. We pray for those who are grieving today, those who have lost family and friends in road accidents, in accidents at sea, in the air. We pray for those who've seen their loved ones suffer over many years with debilitating and painful illnesses. We pray for those who feel their bodies or their minds are growing weaker, for all who are afraid of what lies ahead. Loving God, may all those who feel at rock bottom today be lifted up and empowered by your strength and your comfort. Lord, we pray for one another, that we would be empowered to live creatively, inclusively, faithfully, following in the footsteps of all who have gone before us and who have shown us the way of truth, humility and resilience. May we be a positive influence on those around us and spread your hope, your grace and your love. And Lord, we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know who are ill or suffering at this time, and all who care for them. Lord, just hear from our hearts the names of those we know. Lord, we pray for Elsie as she enjoys time and family and friends in South Africa. Pray for her safety. And Lord, speak refreshment, assurance and warmth over lives afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us, and give us all the courage to step out in faith each new day that you grant us. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we ask that you make us all channels of your peace, and we ask all our prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." You know, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord for all his goodness to us. And we will give thanks now as we make our offering to the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, from whose creative generosity we have all received so much, we give thanks. We give thanks for the gifts that help to define us as the people we are. Gifts that are too many to enumerate. For each of us are so well blessed in many different ways. We direct our thanks to the source of all things, the God who has given us life, the Son who has shown us love, the Spirit renewing us each day. So, Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth, trusting that you will provide all we need to continue your work. Amen. Well, we come now to our gospel reading for today. Simon Peter, with all his faults, was vital for the life of the early church. Vital because he understood one great thing, that Jesus is the promised Messiah. This perception of the Messiah is just so crucial. According to Hebrew prophets, the world has fallen so much under the power of corruption and injustice that it's incapable of rescuing itself. Reform is hopeless. Well, I'm not referring here to Nigel Farage's party. With God's help, they can rescue our country at least. No, the prophet had one crucial answer. Only if God acts in a new way can there be any hope of restoration. Otherwise, human life will descend more and more into a self-destructive spiral of violence and oppression. Seems not much has changed. But Jesus begins his earthly ministry by announcing that the time of redemption has come, that God's reign is beginning, so there is hope for the world and its inhabitants. The disciples altogether have already declared Jesus to be truly the Son of God, when they were overwhelmed by the experience of seeing him walk on the water. But Simon Peter is the first to recognise that Jesus is the one who establishes this new reign of God. He has grasped the one hope that the world has of a new beginning. He has taken hold of the key to the future, world's future. Now Peter speaks up and offers a costly and risky answer to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" His answer can be seen as confirming that Jesus is the promised Messiah. This links into all the religious hopes and predictions of the great leader sent by God, and also into the political expectations that this leader will be one of the house and line of King David, the one who will set his people free. The moment when Peter is willing to take the risks of saying this, of expressing his relationship with Jesus in his controversial terms, is the moment when he flags up both his faith in the mission of Jesus and his willingness to be involved in it. This risk-taking qualifies his disciple to be the rock, the foundation. It also signals the start of the church. Let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, despite what happened in this passage, Peter still has much to learn about the way Jesus will establish God's reign. He will find this lesson hard to take and will resist it bitterly at first. He will have to learn that the road to salvation runs through the cross. This will be, for Peter, a very hard lesson. But because he has grasped the essential truth, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he will gradually learn everything else about the kingdom of God. Perhaps here there is a lesson for all of us. There will always be much that we don't understand, many things that we doubt, plenty that we get wrong. What is important is that we grasp the essential truth, the truth that in Jesus we have seen God at work and that in him is the key to the world's salvation. It's difficult for many of us to place ourselves in the position that Peter found himself in, understanding in our hearts that Jesus is the one, that he is the Messiah, but still with many questions and doubts, still trying to run before we can walk, just like Peter. So perhaps it will be helpful to try and cast our minds back to that time when we first perceived that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Messiah. So there, on that hill overlooking Caesarea Philippi, Jesus gave the first indication that he was to build a church here on earth. And this church was to be built on a firm foundation. It was to be a living church, a church of people founded on his dear disciple Peter, a people of power that will move through this land, led by the Spirit of God, a people of power that will glorify God's holy name. Let's sing, "For I'm building a people of power."
spirit and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord, make us strong, Lord, join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son.
Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. Rome was at that time by far the most populated city in the world and hugely diverse in its range of inhabitants. A relatively small proportion of the population was probably of local origin, and the rest came from every part of the Mediterranean world. Many were Greek speakers. You know, it's remarkable how much Paul knew about Rome, for he had so far never been there. We can see from chapter 16 that he knew many individuals in the Roman churches, and from the rest of his letter that the fact that he wrote it at all, that he had a clear picture of the state of their internal relations, and that was not always to their credit. The section of the letter we're going to hear now opens with a plea for a happy recognition of diversity, especially of gifts which can contribute to the well-being of the Roman Church as a whole. Paul uses the kind of language which he had already developed more fully in his first letter to the Corinthians. He uses the well-recognized image of the human body to describe the Christian community, a body with all its diversity of parts and possibilities. And he does so in order to urge the community into the harmony which it desperately needs to achieve. Perhaps we can assume that the call to humility and renewal of inner resolve, which comes in the opening verses, stems from Paul's information about the state of affairs which he must address. Let's hear now from Paul's letter to the Roman Church.
Reading is from Romans 12:1-8. So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So God, through Jesus, said to Simon Peter, who do you say I am? Do you know what? He is saying exactly the same thing to each one of us. Who do you say I am? And he's also saying, do you say that you are special? Do you say that you are part of my church? Do you say that I've given each one of you gifts to share? Do you say that I love you? You know, this is because Jesus, through God, through Jesus, is saying to each one of us, you are special. You are part of my church. I have given each one of you gifts to share. I do love you. Yes, we are all God's children. Each one of us is special. We are all part of God's church. We do indeed all have gifts to share. And most importantly, we stand in God's love. Having said all that, having taken on board what it means, how can we hesitate? How can we not confess our faith, and not just to God, but to each other? And indeed to everyone we meet, our families, our friends, people we hardly know. We have to want to confess our faith to everyone, because we are all loved by God. That is the most exciting and precious thing about each of us. We are loved by God. So much so that he died a cruel death for each one of us, that we might receive the greatest gift of all, eternal life. Just think about this for a moment. So many things we experience in our lives give us individual pleasure. Perhaps it's something we watch on TV or at the cinema, or something we eat, either in a special restaurant or just at home. Something we do with family or friends. And you know what? One of our immediate reactions is to share that experience with other people, even encourage them to see for themselves. But how often do we share our experience of an encounter with God? Do you leave our worship services and tell your family and friends about the experience? Well, perhaps you do when you haven't enjoyed it, when you haven't felt the nearness of God. How often do we confess our faith to the Lord? We should be doing so every single day. But just as important, we should be confessing our faith to each other and to other people. Of course, we can only do so if it's actually important to us. Our faith. Our knowledge and knowing that whatever's going on in our lives, we are loved by God, is something we should be desperate to share with other people. Remember the quote from Romans that we read a couple of weeks ago, and which I shared again today. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Fantastic. Simon Peter made such a confession of his faith. And Jesus' immediate answer was to say to Peter, "You are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." God is just waiting for each one of us to confess our faith to him and to other people, so that he can build his church on us. We are called to be the rocks on which the church is built. That's a huge responsibility, but one we should be just so excited about. Building the church, growing God's kingdom here on earth. And you know, this isn't just a job for church leaders, pastors or evangelists. This is a job for everyone. All who confess Jesus as God's son. So get excited about it. Don't just disappear into the woodwork when you leave worship. Seek every opportunity to confess your faith and do it with excitement and with joy. As Paul says, "I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect." You know, one of the most exciting things about the church, that is each one of us that makes up the church, is, as Paul puts it, that we are many parts in the one body. And all these parts have different functions. We are a pretty diverse bunch of individuals. So how on earth do you blend all this into one cohesive body? Well, as Christians, as believers, we are one body. One body in union with Christ. And we are all joined to each other as our different parts of one body. So again, as Paul says, we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. You know, I think that last gift is just so important. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. So many people today are just left out. They're not encouraged. So if you do nothing else, encourage one another. It's such a wonderful gift and can have such a wonderful outcome. Jesus called Simon Peter the rock, so that others would be able to build their lives on his example and on his strength, and on his care and concern for them. Jesus is calling each of you the rock. So you just have to live up to it, for the need out there is just so great. And remember, Paul also says, whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. You know, living lives of faith isn't just about looking after number one. It's about sharing our faith, confessing our faith, and being so excited about our faith that others want to know about it. Other people want to know God in the same way that we do. We saw earlier in Paul's letter to the church in Rome how desperate Paul was that all people should know the Lord and call on him for help. But he says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Of course, it's not just about preaching. In today's society, preaching has become a bit of a negative word, it seems, a bit like nagging. But Paul is adamant. How beautiful, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. People need good news. They don't get it from the news broadcasts on TV, but they can get it from us. The good news is that they can and will be saved if they confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in order to do so, they need to learn about Jesus. They need to experience Jesus in their lives. But as Paul says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one who have not heard? And I would say, how can they hear without someone reaching out to them? Salvation isn't just about those who are already saved. It's also about those who need to be saved. And we can't just ignore them and hope they go away. We need to reach out to them. Okay, it's not easy, I know. But you don't have to worry about what you do or what you say. It will come naturally to you in each individual situation. Because God is behind every action he calls us to take. He will always guide you. What is needed from you is faith. A living faith. An excitement about your faith. An excitement that will just spill out onto and into everyone you meet. Your faith needs to be infectious. And of course it will only be infectious if it's real. So work on it. Step into it, relax into it, and confess it. So, having nagged you about confessing your faith, why don't we do that just now? So turn to the song sheet and join in with me as we confess our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed, and say it like you mean it. Let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My dear friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. So God bless you all. Amen. You know, God is good. God is good all the time. He puts his song of praise in this heart of mine. Through the darkest nights his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Let's sing God is good.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good.
Yes, he is.
God is good all the time.
Here we go. God is good.
God is good. All the time, he put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good.
shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And his word is,
here we go,
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners and so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. Stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. It's like this time. God is good.
So now as we leave, may we be empowered to show loving resistance, inspired by Jesus' example, and strengthened by his Spirit. May we stand strong in our faith to challenge injustice, speaking up for those with no voice, showing and sharing Christ in our community. Let's do all this now as we go in love and peace to serve the Lord and his people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.